that pen work to your liking. Check it real quick before I close up.
Here, I don't need that. That's awful. Put that away.
You got my stuff.
I don't need that. Get rid of that.
You got the Feynman letters and the Brianna letters. Okay. You got that statute. You have the filing. He's going to be arguing first.
Here's yours. Do you want that? Get rid of this. Get rid of that.
And you have my three page.
There's nothing to read. It's all full.
Okay. Do you have my three page? After we get everything we want.
I
Ready. All right, good morning. We're here on Oppenheimer versus Bernstein, 2014 CP 2815. Counsel, make your appearance.
Good morning, Your Honor. Stephen Lesney, on behalf of Oppenheimer Trust Company of Delaware. I have my paralegal Lisa Silva, S-I-L-V-A, with me here today.
Okay.
Good morning, Your Honor. Elliot Bernstein and Candace Bernstein, representing ourselves pro se on behalf of our minor children.
Okay, so today is the objection to the accounting day, correct?
And the accounting. The accounting hearing was scheduled, and then he wants to dismiss it. So we have to hear his dismissal first, I guess.
Okay. Well, no, Your Honor. We had filed certain motions. We had a hearing last week. You heard an argument on that. You indicated you might issue a ruling on our motion to strike that today, but you wanted to hear the objections to the accounting first. You indicated at the last hearing that it was Mr. Bernstein's burden to go forward with the objections because we have filed the accountings and therefore made a prima facie case. In an abundance of caution, because the law is a little murky on what constitutes a prima facie case, with your permission, I'd like to introduce a few pieces of evidence that don't work, they're self-authenticating, they don't require witnesses, so I'd like to just start out with that housekeeping matter to do that very quickly.
All right, so I'll let Oppenheimer present what they want, and then Mr. Bernstein, you'll go forward with your objections because there has been a filed account, and then that's what we'll want.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. Okay, so the first thing we'd like to introduce is a binder that's been date stamped OPP 0001 through 1521. And I'm also providing to Your Honor an original business record certification signed by a representative of Oppenheimer Trust Company Delaware, which we'd like to introduce into evidence.
Can I object to that?
Well, hold on. What does this purport to be? Because there's a lot of pages.
Yes.
Am I supposed to review this today?
No, we're introducing
me yesterday.
Those constitute the backup documents supporting the items in the accounting.
So if that's the case, have those documents, which is in exhibit one that you want to introduce to first, Mr. Bernstein.
Yes, Your Honor. As a matter of fact, I put in the pocket there, just for your reference, things have been filed. We filed the business record certification. We served a notice of intent to rely on it in accordance with.
When was that done?
This was done a week ago.
We just got them yesterday.
Well, Your Honor, we sent them to him a week ago via email. 3 days later.
The email of these hundreds of pages of documents?
Thousands, and it wasn't by email.
Stop.
Okay.
I'm not going
to do okay, that. I get it. Sorry. I apologize.
Yes, Your Honor, I do have written correspondence. Did send it to him, and I put in your binder the email showing that we sent him the business record certification. We sent him the documents on the 10th. On the 13th, 3 days later, he says, having computer problems, we can't access it. Can I please FedEx it to him? I said, I'm happy to FedEx it to you. I'm also happy to have you come by my office to retrieve it. This way you don't have to wait until Monday. He declined to do that. He said, go ahead and FedEx it to me.
Okay.
This is a manufactured attempt to say he didn't
receive it. That's not fair.
Well, okay.
We shouldn't say things like that. One side should never tell the court that the other side's manufacturing something. I mean, that's just not what I want to tell.
Okay.
Let's avoid those type of statements.
The facts are, I did FedEx it to him, and then, amazingly, as soon as I FedExed it to him, they were able to access the documents online, and I approved the
right. So that's the nature of this. So let me go to the next step then. So this is going to be, for purposes of today's hearing, Exhibit 1.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Now, what's Exhibit 2?
Okay. Exhibit 2 we ask Your Honor to take judicial notice of the final orders you entered in the 2010 matters filed by Mr. Bernstein, where you appointed Oppenheimer Trust Company as the trustee of the trust.
Okay.
The reason that's important is because some of his objections say that Oppenheimer's not the trustee, this isn't the trust.
Well, if I entered a court order, I'm allowed to see what I ordered then.
Okay.
Any objections? Are we looking at that?
Can I object to what happened?
No. My order, they just want me to see an order that I entered.
But it's a critical order that we want to make you aware of something.
Well, I'll let you talk about
okay.
this, but
Yeah, I'll just give you.
It is a final order on petition to appoint successor trustee in the.
Three trusts.
Okay, so Joshua, Jake, and Daniel Bernstein's revocable trust cases, they're all the same, correct?
Correct, and this is the final order of appointing successor trustee, and then attached to it is acceptance by successor trustee. And we want, Your Honor, to take judicial notice of these so that you can see that this was done.
All right, I'll take judicial notice because it's an order, right?
Correct.
Okay, I'll hear from you when he's done. Go, what else? Okay.
Next, Your Honor, is we have three documents that were recorded in the public records of Palm Beach County related to the real estate that's owned by the trust because Mr. Bernstein is objecting to the valuation. So these are self-authenticating under Florida Statute 90.9024. So we'd like to introduce these to evidence.
Reported documents in the public records are number three.
Okay. The next thing, Your Honor, the final thing, is we ask the courts to take judicial notice of the counterclaim filed in this action by Mr. Bernstein and all the documents, pleadings, and orders referenced in the motions to appoint the guardian ad litem. And those are going to be introduced later to it relates to Mr. Bernstein's credibility and bias against the legal system, which are always relevant, and it also relates to our continuing motion that you haven't ruled upon yet to appoint the guardian ad litem. So we're asking Your Honor to take judicial notice of the counterclaim and the other legal proceedings that are referenced in our motion to strike.
Okay, can I see that?
Absolutely. Counterclaim, and Your Honor, give me the motion to strike that we filed, and the motion to strike for these exhibits is only going to be relying on. And just for the record, Your Honor, in both of those motions, we asked the court to take judicial notice. Footnote 5 of the motion to appoint guardian ad litem filed September 14, 2014, we asked the court to take judicial notice, and in the motion filed February 13, 2015, we ask the court to take judicial notice in footnote 2. So these motions have been pending for quite some time.
You denied those motions in the first hearing.
Was there an order? My next question is, was there an order on the motion to appoint?
No, and I presented at the last hearing, and Your Honor indicated that you would consider it today. And I have an order if you would like. I have an order on the motion to appoint.
But the theory here is, have a guardian ad litem other than natural guardians, which are Elliott and Candace.
Correct, to appoint.
Right now, they are the natural guardians.
They are the natural guardians, and we have a pending motion that's not yet been ruled upon to appoint a guardian ad litem for the remainder of these proceedings because, for various reasons, including the
proceedings are this accounting that Oppenheimer is involved in today, correct?
Yes.
And then if there is. Okay, so again, at the end of the accounting objection process, I sustain or overrule the objections. If I overrule all objections, then the accounting gets finalized. And then what happens with this trust?
What's next is we have a motion pending, I believe, March 30th and March 31st, to terminate the trust.
Okay. I got that. Okay.
And then the only other thing that's pending.
So then I would need to appoint a guardian.
Well, the only thing that's pending is a counterclaim filed by Mr. Bernstein on behalf of his children and the state. And again, we believe it's a waste of judicial resources.
State, and that's a separate counterclaim against Oppenheimer.
And me personally and my law firm.
Okay.
All
right, I got that. Okay, so.
Mr. Putnam on the record.
For the record, I'm not concerned with that.
He has been served with that. He gets electronic service from the court.
Okay, all right. So I got that. Okay, so I have these documents. Now, how about the accounting? Can I see that?
Yes, we have bound copies for Your Honor and Mr. Bernstein of the three final accountings that previously filed in this court. All right. They were filed in December of 2014, so 3 months ago.
All right, so these will be number four, which are the accountings. Okay. Do I have a sticker? Do you have an extra one? you can either give it to me or Elliot can. Can I get a, because I like to have this all in front of me, can I get a copy of the objections? Do you have those?
My objections? I have one copy.
We have,
you want a
copy? Is there, do you get served with a copy?
We have additional copies.
Okay. Because what I do is, you know, I need to have both the accountings and the objections in front of me because that's how I can follow along with that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to mark another sticker. The objections is number 5.
That's fine, Your Honor. And the only thing I don't think you ruled upon yet for a motion to take judicial notice of the counterclaim and the...
Well, the counterclaim is filed, so the extent to which that's relevant to the accounting, I'll take judicial notice. I don't know what it is, because right now I'm focused in on the accounting, and then once I do the accounting objections, not knowing how a rule will go from there.
Okay, so the motion to take judicial notice of the legal proceedings that are set forth and described in our motion to strike... motion to appoint a guardian ad litem, you are not ruling on that.
I'm not ruling on that now. I want to get through the accounting phase and then we'll take a look at that.
Okay. So with that, Your Honor, Oppenheimer will rest, reserving the right to call rebuttal witnesses and evidence if necessary.
All right.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Elliott, let me ask you this. On
yes, sir.
On your accounting's objections.
Yes, sir.
Since you have 3 children, separate them, or is it that you filed one set of objections and they apply to all 3 kids?
They apply to all 3 kids other than were so stated.
Okay.
So there were some differences.
Point that out to me when we get to that.
Yes.
All right, so... All right, so, Mr. Bernstein, you are up on your objections.
Okay, now, I'd like to make an opening statement. And
to deal with your objections?
It deals with this, yeah, hearing.
Okay, well, the hearing's on your objections.
Right.
I have your objections. Here's the thing. I don't know that I need an opening statement because what I need you to do, now that I have the accountings and I have your objections, I need to be able to rule on your objections. So I'll rule on them by either sustaining or overruling them.
Okay.
As an accounting objection. Okay, so... Let's do that.
Okay, the first thing I'd like to point out to the court is I have a trustee who's engaged and retained to be trustee. I just got the email from her 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
A letter to you if you'd like to see it.
All right. Okay, I'll remember that at some point, but
okay.
Right now I'm still going to do these objections.
And so there's no trustee present at this hearing.
Okay.
Okay, just to take note of that.
But they still are, they still, when they were trustees when they did this accounting, if that's what you objected to.
They were resigned when they did the accounting.
Well, yeah, but the accounting period from July 10, 2010 through May 26, 2014, they were the trustees.
Okay, yeah,
well, that's
yeah,
why they
yeah,
do the
yeah,
accounting
okay,
for that.
Right.
So that, see, there's no issue there. That's proper.
Okay, but they submitted it to a trust where there was no trustee to object to that.
But
so
they're, I
she wants to
object they're submitting
to
it to me
no.
because they're filing their accountings. That's the right thing to do. So even a discharged trustee or anyone else in that fiduciary position, almost all the time, even at the end of a guardianship or end of a trust, they file accountings. They're off.
Right.
But they still file a file. So this is correct.
Okay, they should have filed their accounting and come to the court for discharge, though, prior to resigning. Meaning they resigned and didn't file an accounting.
You're telling me that.
Okay.
What's the rule that says that?
And, Your Honor, if I may approach, just because there's a little bit of confusion here, there's a Florida Statute 736.0707 talks about a resigned trustee. And what it says is, until a resigned trustee delivers the property to a successor trustee, we have the duties of a trustee and the powers necessary to protect the trust property. So
yeah, this is...
Okay, I'm fine with it. Look,
so
all I'm saying
is
there's a trustee now.
Well, they were a trustee,
right.
And they resigned. This is not a voluntary...
Okay,
right. And so, but now let's focus.
Now there's a successor trustee.
And I have not yet appointed...
Okay.
You have found
yes.
a successor trustee.
Correct.
Okay.
And that happened because...
But I want to deal with the objections to the accounting.
Okay, and I just wanted to make it clear for the record, the new trustee would also like to make those kind of objections to the accounting.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm only going to deal with yours because you've been the guardian of your children, entitled in their behalf to make the objections.
Okay, great.
Okay, go. All right, so Let's start.
Okay. So my...
You can stand there or sit if you need to lay out papers.
Sit down.
Okay, that's easier for me.
All right, so I'm going to, only because it's on top, I'm going to have to look at the accounting for Daniel, because unless you tell me that I need to switch over to someone else.
Okay.
All right, so, go ahead.
No, we started with, okay, so you want to start with this?
I'll start, I just, take me through your...
Okay. The first part of my accounting starts with a general objection that you can't really do an accounting without making sure the people who are taking the funds are authorized by legal valid documents to so take money from those funds. And so the account.
Slow down. Let me.
Okay.
Is this in your section called general accounting?
Yes.
Okay. Let me read that.
Yeah. Okay, so make sure I put that on the record.
Okay, so let's deal with these one at a time.
And Your Honor, can I put on the record that I'd like to have reserve the right to continue these hearings and not get a judgment today, because by getting these documents yesterday, and they've had months to send them to me, the boxes of stuff that arrived.
Well, I'll deal with that depending upon what your objections are.
Well, part of my objection is... My objection is I did get a glance through those documents in the last few hours, and there's a whole bunch more of objections. Meaning now that we actually have some of the supporting data, you're going to be, it's incredible.
Okay.
So no wonder they hid it till the last minute.
Okay, all right, I got it.
Okay.
And I'll rule on that part of this when we get to it.
Okay, thank you.
So the first objection is that no individual or partner from the trust company has signed, verified, or dated the accounting. That's the first objection, correct?
Yeah.
All right, so let's take a look.
It's submitted by Stephen Lessing.
Well, right now, I'm looking at the accounting and see if it's signed by anyone. So.
I don't think so. Do you have the accounting with us? Oh, okay.
This is an accounting, Michelle Lessing, prepared by Morrison Brown, correct?
Correct.
All right, is it signed by anyone? Is there any type of transmittal?
There was a signed transmittal letter from the accountant to me, Your Honor, and I did not submit that to the court because I believe that was part of the final.
Or to us.
Say again?
Or to me.
Okay, all right. So,
but I will
let me ask you, hold on.
Make sure, a note of that.
Because objections, play this by the rules.
Mm-hmm.
You have authority, point me out to a rule, statute, some other type of authority that requires that the accounting that's filed be signed, verified by the trustee.
No. I don't have that here, no.
The statutes are trusted.
Okay, so I objected to it on that ground.
All right, but here's the way this works.
Okay.
Let's slow down for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this, that objections have to be based upon something that is based in law or rules.
Okay.
Okay, or you could have an objection for example, a math error as well,
okay.
Because that's a factual error that you're allowed to do. So, okay, all right. So I'm going to rule on these. Objection number one is overruled because there's no showing that these accountings have to be signed, verified, or dated by the trust.
Are you aware of any rule?
No.
Okay, under the trust code, okay.
No, I'm not aware of
it. Okay.
Yeah, if one came to mind, I'd say so, but I'm not.
Okay.
Let me read the next one, number two.
You probably have the same issue.
Number two is that I misstated. The first objection is that Morrison didn't sign it, that's overruled. The second one is that the trust didn't sign it, that's overruled. Okay. Let me look at the third one. Okay, so Okay, so tell me about the third objection.
Okay, the third objection is, as you'll recall in the first hearing, you...
See, this is where I want to stop. This is an accounting objection.
Oh.
So point out to me...
Okay, Daniel's trust is missing signature pages. So if there's not a signed document and they can't produce one, they've been illegally withdrawing funds without a properly legally executed trust document to operate under. Go to the signature pages of Daniel's trust. They don't exist. We've asked them since getting this.
There's no trust.
Exactly. Well, there's paper there, but nobody signed it. So they withdrew funds from an account without proper legal documents.
In the name of a trust when there is no trust.
Well, they put down a trust, but there's nobody signed it. Go look at the trust he gave you. Go to the signature pages. They don't exist. We've been asking.
Where do I find the trust documents?
We have copies of the trust that result three.
Daniel's, please.
Okay. Here's a copy of Daniel's trust document.
Okay, let me see.
And, Your Honor, the reason I asked you to take judicial notice of your prior orders is Mr. Bernstein in 2010 filed a motion, a petition, asking your court to appoint a successor trustee for these three trusts. If he had any...
Hold on, let's not...
Oh, we're going to get to that, too, Your Honor.
My point is it's risk you've got.
Yeah.
Hold on.
And you will note that the initial pages for Daniel Bernstein, who I believe at the time was about 4 years old, are not initialed or finger-painted by any party. I don't know what law firm did those documents.
What you just handed me, which I'll mark as number 6. I'll leave a sticker.
Mark as number 6, Danny's trust.
Should I just give you some stickers?
Yes, that's fine. This purports to be the trust agreement for the Daniel Bernstein Irrevocable Trust, September 7, 2006, that's the subject of the accounting. And Exhibit 6 that you gave me, Mr. Lessie, is it a signature page? Because it purports to be executed by Simon Bernstein Settler.
I don't see a signature page on this particular copy.
Is there, for the other two children's trusts, is that the same situation?
No, Your Honor, we do have signature pages on the other two trusts. Jake?
Can we get to those next?
Well, I'm just asking.
Okay, okay.
Because
I'm going to get sidetracked here.
I'm not going to get sidetracked.
Okay.
So we'll make...
It's fraud.
Well, I don't want you doing that, Elliot.
What?
Stop on it.
No, that's part of my objection, actually, is fraud.
It could be, but I'm not ready for you to start.
Okay.
All right, 7 is going to be Jake's trust. 8 is going to be Joshua's. Let me
write those down. Is this thing on?
Yes.
Oh, can I turn it off? Or do you want it on?
No,
oh, okay.
Okay, so I see what purports to be signature pages between Simon and the trustee for... Jake, and same thing for Joshua. So there's none for Daniel. So now, Mr. Lessie, you were telling me that the order that I entered on Exhibit 2 deals with that subject. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. In 2010, there was a final order on the Bernstein's, Elliot and Bernstein's petition to appoint a successor trustee, because what happened is, and this is one of the things we'd ask you to take judicial notice of, Stanford Trust Company was the prior trustee. They were deemed resigned by another
Stanford,
court.
Tracy.
They engaged in some Ponzi scheme action. They were dissolved. They were deemed resigned, and a successor trustee was needed. All of the other 7 grandchildren appointed Oppenheimer as a successor trustee. Mr. and Mr. Bernstein filed a petition in this court asking this court to appoint a successor trustee for these trusts. If they had issues about the legitimacy of these trusts, That should have been raised in those proceedings.
Your Honor.
It was not. Res judicata prohibits a party from arguing anything that was raised or should have been raised in that proceeding. We have been operating as a trustee for 5 years based upon this court's order. And as we will go through when Mr. Bernstein gets on the stand, if he intends to get on the stand, he was treating us as a trustee for 5 years, requesting disbursements, etc. So this is barred, this argument is barred by res judicata. If he's got a problem with these orders, he should have taken them up on appeal. He didn't. The time for taking them up on appeal is passed. So these orders are res judicata as to both the issues of the legitimacy of the trust and Oppenheimer standing as trustee.
Okay, let me read objection number 3 again in the general objection to that. Mr. Bernstein,
yes.
The objection number 3 is not specific to the issue that you just spoke about, which is the contention that the Joshua Trust that Daniel's Trust appears not to be executed by Simon.
It's not.
Okay.
Okay.
So, factually, is that a dispute or not?
Well, Your Honor, again, the problem is...
Well, is that it's signed? Anybody going to look for a signature page that doesn't exist or what?
Oppenheimer received documents, all the trust documents that it had, from the receiver, the court-appointed receiver for Stanford Trust Company. We got what we got.
Right.
We don't have original documents.
I got that part. Okay. So here's my question. Elliot, I don't see your objection specific to that issue. Show me where that is.
What the objection to?
The issue that with respect to Daniel's trust, that the accounting is subject to challenge because there's no trust signed document.
That's correct.
Where do I find that?
You're holding a trust document that doesn't have signature pages.
Where do I find that in your objection?
Oh, it's common. It's
which one? Which number?
Oh, you want me to find it?
You mentioned it. What number is it?
Well, it's in that one, partially.
No, I read that one. That's not.
Okay.
That's not it.
Then in 7, the documents are not fully executed.
Okay, let me read 7. Okay, number 7 raises that issue. So let's go to 7 while we're at it.
Okay, can I make a statement here on your order that he's claiming res judicata and all that stuff?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
All right, so this, the general objection is that to the accounting for Daniel is that there is no signed trust for Daniel.
Correct.
Okay. And as a result of that, what do you say is Mr. Bernstein is infirm about the accounting?
Well, I'm saying that the accounting, they then not having proper legal executed documents and even knowing that, because I pointed it out to them, didn't come to the court and rectify any of this. They just started using the funds on the direction of Robert Spallina, who we'll get to in a minute. But the bottom line is, if you don't have legal access to the funds by proper documentation, whether you appointed him trustee or not, actually, if you did appoint him trustee, which we'll get to in a minute, he even has a greater responsibility as trustee to do his underwriting and say, oh, first thing, do we have signed documents?
What's wrong with the accounting, though?
Well, I'm going to say that every single line item transaction on there was withdrawn. Truth, that's true, and stands as in each one a separate instance of fraud. Meaning, because if they operated those accounts without proper documentation and legal authority, each action is a withdrawal of fraud. And I am going
to
make that claim.
That's fraud.
Well, if you go access any account without proper documents and you're not the proper trustee and you don't have legal binding documents to do it, you would consider it fraud.
No.
No?
You might.
Okay. Well, I've sent it to the sheriffs. We're all looking into this. And the documents even get better. We haven't even started on the fraud in the documents. Remember?
Well, remember, hold on.
Okay.
I'm never going to be able to do this if we leap.
Okay.
So now, the question is there a ground to object to Daniel's accounting based upon the fact that the document of origin, which is September 7, 2006, trust document, does not appear to have a signature page by Simon? That's the legal issue. So what do you say about that?
Your Honor, I would say, first of all, Oppenheimer Trust Company was acting under the color of law, under a court order, that said these trusts are here.
Your Honor, those trusts weren't submitted to you with that order.
Elliot,
okay.
Sorry. Number of times.
Okay.
Here's why.
I'll keep a list.
I can't do that.
I know.
Back and forth.
If you okay.
The time, and I give you time. To
I'm sorry.
It, so stop interrupting.
Okay, sorry.
Yes. So first of all, the orders acted res judicata. Oppenheimer was acting under color of law under this court's authority to act as trustee of these trusts. And in addition to that, Your Honor, as I will show through evidence throughout the course of these proceedings, if Mr. Bernstein wants to take the stand, that he was treating Oppenheimer in all respects trustee. He was making requests.
All right, so for the record, on July 8, 2010, the court entered an order that says, with respect to Daniel, Oppenheimer Trust Company is hereby appointed as successor trustee of the Daniel Bernstein Irrevocable Trust dated September 7, 2006.
You're on.
Did I say that?
The problem with the order, I believe whatever that order might say. But the problem is there's no trust document. We went to your court to the file, and there were no trust documents submitted to you to make that order. So you blindly accepted a transfer of trusteeship, it's assumed, where you didn't have trust documents, and had you have had them, I'm sure the first thing you would have said is, hey, this one's not signed. And by the way, there's a lot of other problems.
The way this order reads...
Right. Robert Spallina brought that in, by the way. Mm-hmm. The guy who admitted frauding documents.
Okay, Elliot.
Okay. Stated that. Oops.
So, for the record, let me just say some things and I'll let you both comment if you think it needs comment. The order, which is Exhibit 2, which is on the Joshua Trust.
I believe there's all three orders.
So all three are in here, advanced. All right, so... I have Exhibit 2 is all three of the same orders. Let me be careful and go right to Daniel. I'm at the other child's trust. So I'm going to tell you something in a second. Thank you. So in case number 2010-CP-3123, which is a freestanding case called In Re Daniel Bernstein Irrevocable Trust, dated September 7, 2006, there was a petition filed by Elliot and Candace Bernstein as natural guardians of Daniel, requesting the following. It says that the Daniel Bernstein Irrevocable Trust was created September 7, 2006, by and between Simon Sedlor and Tracy Krakish, initial trustee, the trust agreement. It says Tracy resigned. Sanford accepted appointment. Sanford's out. The trust agreement doesn't designate a successor. A vacancy has to be filled. The trust document is referred to as saying how that gets filled, and that Elliot and Candace desire to exercise Daniel's rights to have Oppenheimer appointed. And it's dated June 18, 2010. It purports to have signatures of Elliot and Candace filed by Robert Spolina. And there's a similar petition of the other two children's cases, and those case numbers are for Joshua, it's 2010-CP-3128, and for Jake, it's 2010-CP-3125. And the entirety of the case is the petition to appoint and this final order appointing, and that's the entire case. There's no other activity. It's just two docket entries, in essence.
And there's no trust document submitted with the case for you to review to appoint the transfer.
Well, so what?
Now, by the way, we've
why,
also...
Why do you say...
Okay.
So, there is...
Wait.
There is no attachment. Okay, so that petition was filed, and the order that I signed in July 8th was entered. Okay, so I'm not sure what the problem is.
Okay, several problems. A, that whole transfer order is going to expose a lot more problems than you can imagine, and I can get into those right now. The first problem with it is that you were petitioned supposedly by Spolina.
No, I wasn't. Incorrect. I'm petitioned by Elliot and Candace.
That part, we've already gone to the sheriff and claimed that we
you
never signed those.
Sheriff,
no. We never signed those documents.
Okay, so
we never even saw these trusts till after my dad's dead.
Okay, so
right.
I used the word purported.
Yes.
Okay.
I did hear that.
I'm looking at a document.
I see.
That says Elliot and Candace are asking this to happen, and Elliot and Candace's signature purportedly appears. Okay. And so, based upon that, I signed the orders, and there is nothing filed in those cases since 2010, it's now 2015, indicating some infirmity with those three.
Because we never saw it.
Well, okay, but
and those aren't our documents.
Yeah, but no, you're
I never signed those documents. Me and my wife have attested that.
I don't know that.
Okay, well, we've made claim to the sheriff, so we're taking care of it.
It doesn't matter what you claim to the sheriff.
Okay, I'm claiming it to you.
What matters is the following. So based upon those petitions that purported to have your signatures,
right,
you and your wife requested that I enter the final order on those petitions, the entire case or those two documents, and the order says that Oppenheimer is appointed. So those, and that order, the July 8, 2010 order, was
order?
Not appealed, and entered no motion to vacate those orders, and now it's 2015. So I'm not sure, okay, so it may be that you tell me now that you never signed, nor did Candace, these documents, and that Spolina, who was the lawyer then,
committed more.
Had your signatures forged.
He's already admitted to the sheriff he forged documents in my mom's estate.
Okay, all right, but here's the point. When I enter an order, even if it's based upon what you're telling me now, the people that I'm mentioning in the order, to wit, Oppenheimer as designated trustee, successor trustee, because the original trustee, Sanford, I was told in the motion, can't serve, then that's a valid order.
Okay, here's another problem.
What?
Okay. Tracy Kradish is said to be the trustee in that original document.
The original trustee.
Correct. On page 2, it says the trustee is actually Stephen Greenwald. So, and by the way, it calls Tracy Kradish a he. She's a lawyer and an accountant. She would have never missed that. But even though that's wrong, on page 2, she turns into Stephen Greenwald. So either there's transgenderism going on here in page 1 to 2. But more importantly, once they couldn't produce signed documents, we went to Tracy Kradish.
Hold on, I'm looking at page 2 of Daniel's trust.
Do you have it?
I don't see.
It might be 3. Hold on. Sorry. It's on my page. Green mom.
Page 3, article.
Okay, hold on. We'll show you.
The end of article 5.
What does it say? Okay, an article of 5.10, sorry, on page 3.
The line 5.10 is, okay, and it says successor trustee in the event the initial trustee, which is Tracy.
No, it says Stephen Greenwald.
Oh, Stephen Greenwald resigns or ceases to serve at point lateral.
So who's the original trustee, Tracy or Stephen, according to these documents? You wouldn't be able to figure it out because this...
Okay, all right.
Okay, next, let us continue. We went and talked to Tracy Kradish. Sansbury was there. She says she was never in that original document. She tells, okay, so she tells...
can't get that in evidence.
Oh, okay, so let me put it to you this way. I got to think that through. Okay, so the document states that Tracy Kradish was the initial trustee. We allege that Stanford Bank was the original trustee, that Stanford gets caught in a Ponzi scheme, that Tracy Kradish then accepted trusteeship for a brief week between Stanford and Oppenheimer. And so if you look, I believe there's a document of a letter of resignation of Tracy's, but they failed to put in her acceptance.
In 2007, she resigned according to your motion.
In fact, on the day those documents are signed, Tracy Kradish doesn't even work for my family. So...
it says here, Tracy was the initial trustee.
That's right, but she's...
she resigned and appointed Stanford.
No, that's...
but that's what the motion says.
That's correct. And believe me, if we had seen any of this and we had seen these documents back in 2010 to make... whatever they are claiming we signed.
This has been in the court file for 5 years.
But we didn't know it existed. We never were given copies of this.
And you're, this
which, by the way, could predate this fraud 5 years that they were doing this. And this raises some serious concerns about the other estate cases of my parents.
Yeah, but here's the point, though.
Such as murder.
So on these trust documents that say what they say, okay. I went ahead and entered an order on July 8, 2010 that appointed Oppenheimer as successor trustee for all three children's trusts.
That you didn't see, the trust, in making that order.
But
and I'm not arguing that you made him trustee.
Okay, all right.
I had never seen trust documents or signed those documents.
So what to the issue that I'm dealing with? There may be other issues that's significant, but not as to this issue.
Okay, and this issue, what's significant is that we never have been given those documents till we didn't even know those were filed in our names.
Okay, but here's the point.
So how could we respond? How do I respond to your order if I never was, A, given the documents that I'm alleged to have signed?
What order are you talking about?
The one you're talking signed to make them trustee.
I didn't say please respond to that.
He's saying I didn't respond timely to it and object.
Well, no. I mean, based upon the fact that the motion appears to have is brought by you in the motion. That's what I would have seen. I would have seen Daniel and Candace natural parents of these three
Elliot.
Children
Elliot.
Request, I mean Elliot, sorry, Elliot okay. And Candace request that I appoint the successor trustee. And I did.
I know what
it's
you
no
see.
It's a no-brainer.
I'm not blaming you.
Okay, so I enter that.
Right.
That's what it is. So now, they got appointed by me.
Right.
Okay, so now let's go to your objections.
Okay, now they're trustee, let's say.
And now they're trustees.
The first thing they should have done is said, where's executed documents?
Okay, that's not a grounds for objection to the account.
That they're not using executed documents to withdraw funds from a trust?
They're not.
Illegally, generally accepted.
You listen to me now, okay? Your objection is overruled. It lacks any legal basis for what you're saying. None. Provide me with a law that requires that they, the appointed trustee, have a signed trust document as a prerequisite to filing a final accounting. Show me the law.
Oh, not to filing a final accounting.
That's what I'm dealing
to
with.
Using the funds. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I get, now I understand what you're saying. Meaning, I thought you were saying, I thought you were saying it's legal to withdraw funds without having legally executed documents.
The accounting says what it says.
Okay.
In the accounting. I have a summary of the accounting, and then there's backup to it in here. So.
No, there's no backup. Tango.
No. I mean, there's a summary, and there's documents in the accounting.
No, there's no documents. It's just.
Sure there is.
There is?
The summary's on one page, and then there's a bunch of pages that back up the summary. That's typical of an accounting.
Oh, okay, but there's no documents that back up
the. They don't have to by rule.
Okay.
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 See, you can't make up the rule on that that says.
I'm not making up any rule.
Okay, yeah,
that's
all
right. What we just got, the two binders.
I'm not getting what's wrong with the accounting. Remember, I'm dealing with the accounting.
I'm saying the accounting is accounted for properly for transactions that are all. I understand.
Okay.
I'm saying that generally accepted accounting principles would require the person withdrawing funds from an account to have legal standing to do that.
Okay, objection overruled because I gave them legal standing when I entered this office.
You gave them legal standing to be trustee.
No, and that gave them the authority to act as successor trustee.
Okay.
The accounting.
And now as successor trustee, their first duty is to make sure they have legal binding trust documents.
Only you say that.
Well,
I didn't say that.
Stop.
So trustees can operate, because I want to get this on the record
there
for everyone.
There is nothing that in the order appointing them, that for accounting purposes required that they have a signed trust document as a prerequisite
accounting.
Under that purported trust document. I didn't require
for
that.
Accounting.
You're saying that, but I didn't require that.
Okay, but for them then to go access funds as trustee of these trusts, the first thing their audit would have had to do was say, do we have legal authority to access the funds? If they didn't, they could have simply come back to you.
They had because I ordered it.
Just to be trustee.
Okay.
So then they have fiduciary responsibilities to their clients to not access trust funds where they don't have binding documents.
Show me where that is. Show me the law that says that.
Okay, I'll find that and submit it.
Okay,
well, I don't have that law with me, but okay.
You can't make that up.
Okay, so you're saying that people can operate accounts.
Show me the authority for what you just said.
Okay, well, it's fraud. So whatever statute that is.
Okay, show me the authority that when Oppenheimer, as a trust company, administered this trust pursuant to a court order, and the trust had a trust account. Because that's what we're talking about.
What trust for Danny? There is no trust. There's no legally binding document.
Okay.
Right.
So,
hold on, Kim.
Okay. All right. Because you're just stuck on an issue. I'm ruling against you on that. Move on or don't move at all.
Okay. Let's go to the next one.
All right. We're going to go to number three is overruled. Number four. Okay, I'll let you be heard to the legal basis for objection number four. Legal basis, not Elliot's. You don't make the law. You're not the law.
Okay, I'm a pro se, so I don't really know all the laws.
But I can only, Elliot,
okay,
I can only rule on this based upon the law.
Okay. Okay. My wife just reminded me, I have to videotape lacrosse games for Spanish River High. I only had an hour for this.
That's true. When we started at 10:15.
And we started a little late, and so.
Okay, but let's get past. Let's get.
I got to get going though. Can we delay this, and I'll have the successor trustee also sign in?
We're not going to finish all of these. We don't have time.
Okay.
Unless, let me ask you, do I have?
So I have to go.
Your Honor, I filed a motion asking this court to reschedule this hearing because of insufficient time. Mr. Bernstein said, "Nope, we're doing it in an hour."
I never said that.
Okay, all right. No, I wanted it said.
Right.
Okay, so let me finish. I want to rule on number four. Okay, no one's leaving until I can rule on number four. Elliot, do you have authority for that? Yes, I do.
I don't.
Okay, objection overruled.
Okay.
Okay, I know how much we're doing this, and I'm going to let you go. When I get
okay.
Let me read the next one. So tell me about objection five. Tell me what you mean by that.
I just mean that there's a we have no accountings of these trusts from the years 2006 through 2010 through three trustee transferships from Stanford to Tracy Kradish to Oppenheimer. There's no prior accountings, and their whole accounting starts with a balance that they just say exists from nowhere. We don't have any trace to Stanford. We don't have any.
Slow down. So the trust is created, the date is September 7, 2006, and this accounting is from July 30, 2010. So the argument is, why hasn't Oppenheimer furnished any accounting for September 7, 06 through July 30, 10, and what's the answer to that?
Okay, Your Honor, first of all, that's outside the scope of these accounting proceedings. The accounting, if they want to talk about collateral wrongdoing on behalf of my client, that's outside the scope. But I will show you.
That certainly doesn't answer my question.
Okay, I will show you Chapter 736, which is the statute that deals specifically with trust accountings. And if you look at paragraph 1, it says a trust accounting must be a reasonably understandable report from the date of the last accounting, or if none, from the date on which the trustee became accountable.
Okay, all right. So now you're answering my inquiry. Okay, so the order that I entered for Oppenheimer is July 8th. So July 30th would be a reasonable time that they would start the accounting.
Well, if you look at the next page, there's an acceptance of trusteeship. So that's the date.
Okay, all right. So.
And that was all done on fraudulent.
Trust accounting must be an understandable report from the last date of the last accounting. Okay, so is there a prior accounting to the one that is filed here?
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, my client would be prepared to testify, and I thought that was outside the scope of these proceedings.
So is there an actual accounting that was done from September of 06 to some date prior to July of 2010?
Not that they provided us.
I mean, because you weren't the... So, Mr. Lessie, yes, Oppenheimer wasn't the trustee then, correct?
Correct.
So, did someone else do an accounting?
I can show you what we have. I'm just trying
no,
to...
No. Here's my question. Listen, it's not a trick question. Because all this is, 736.08135, directs when it is that the trust accounting for this trustee has to take place. It either is from the date of the last accounting or from the date that you become accountable. So, I mean, if there is no last accounting, then the date that you started would be fine.
Okay. Your Honor, a few things.
Yeah.
We have provided, Oppenheimer, throughout the course of its trusteeship, has provided accountings to Mr. Bernstein. My clients will testify to that.
That's not my issue. You're missing the point. His objection is that there's no prior accountings. I don't know of any law that requires Oppenheimer to furnish a prior accounting.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
That's
correct. As a matter of fact, the trust documents themselves say that we are not responsible for looking into the acts of the prior
accountant. A prior accounting is something that someone or some entity would do before this accounting that Oppenheimer did.
Right.
Okay. So the question is,
yeah,
is before I even ask, was there a prior accounting, to object to this accounting, I would have to find that there's a legal requirement that when an entity, such as Oppenheimer, does an accounting for the period of time that I require them, that they furnish in the accounting the prior accounting. Where is that law? That's what you said, Ellie, in your objection number 5. They should have attached the prior accountings. Okay, it's nice that you say that, but where is that required?
No, we'll give you that. We don't have that code in before us right now.
That for me, thanks.
Yeah, but we want to thank him for giving us to this, because you asked the last question, what code section mandates that they must have a trust to operate on? And if you look at 2A, the accounting must begin with a statement identifying the trust. The trust, identifying the trust, the trustee... But that's not a legal document because it has no signatures. Well, are you saying, Your Honor, because I want to get that on the record.
They're identifying that that's the trust that they did Daniel's accounting for, as well as the other kids which have signatures.
Well, they're also missing initials and they have the wrong trustees, two trustees conflicting. Okay.
That's not an accounting issue.
Oh, okay. I might be missing some of that. I might. Okay. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Here's a little hint. Who did the accounting? An accounting firm. This is numbers.
Yeah.
These are monies being moved between the accounts.
But accounting also deals with the documents. Right here, you have to establish a trust.
Well, okay, but...
So if the trust is invalid legally because it's not signed...
They don't determine it's invalid.
Well, they have to.
No, wrong. Only I can determine something's invalid. And no one brought that to my attention to determine it invalid.
So now?
Well, but they did the accounting already. So they did it correctly because I designated them as a successor trustee. Let's move on. Let's see what
okay.
we can do. 5 is overruled. Then we make 6, and then we make...
I'm going to be late. Is there any way
one
we can...
One more, and then we should be late. Oh,
yeah, well, you want to bring your court's attention. I flew the chief trust officer of Oppenheimer in...
Well, I gave you the hour, and we're not able to finish it. I'm not going to waive these. Let me look at this at the next one. Stopping at 5 because 6 deals with the
five
issue that the trust is not a, for at least for Daniel, is not a valid trust.
For all of them, by the way.
Demands for the documents, and that there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 statutes that have been violated. I have to look at those statutes. So, all right, we're done.
Sure, I got to. Oh, can I ask one more question? Now, in the interest of getting a trustee here to protect the kids. A little bit more qualified than me. She's a lawyer.
Your time is up. If your time, you can still talk to me. I'm doing another accounting.
No, I just want you to order them to send the new trustee who's retained the trust documents.
I don't know if they got noticed.
What do you mean? I just got her
retainer. We're not doing this through
so should I file that is what you're saying?
Just do whatever you legally, whatever the trust you want to do behalf of your children, based upon this, the fact that Oppenheimer resigned, if there's going to be a new trustee, let him file a notice.
Okay. Done. Thank you, sir.
I just want to alert you and there's a provision in the trust document that talks about how to appoint a successor.
I don't have a problem with that. Okay. They want to do it that way. All right. So listen, hold on. Folks, I want to get you back in here right away. We've got to make progress.
Can we do it after this week? We've got spring break this week and next week.
Why can't I do it? I have time on Thursday.
No, I definitely, because we've got our kids home and we're dealing with them and taking them around. This week is totally shot, that's for sure. So the following week, but even that later in the following week,
wait,
because
March
then.
March 31st when we're here on the other things.
Oh, March 31st maybe when we're here on the other things.
Well, let me see about that. Your Honor, I do want to stress again. Bernstein asked for this hearing. This was an evidentiary hearing.
You required me to.
He set forth a host of objections, and as in an abundance of caution, I flew a witness in from out of state at significant cost.
I didn't know there was any witnesses.
We covered an hour. I didn't know how many objections there were. I'm seeing them out the first time. So I'm not going to stop. Is your request really that I do what? Overrule all the rest of the objections without hearing them?
On the 10th, I had asked you to strike the objection because it does not comply with the quiet order, asking for line item objections, which you kind of asked to strike them.
Well, so far I'm not having a problem with the form of the objections. I'm just overruling them.
Okay.
So let me get past that. Okay, let me see where we are here. All right, we don't have time on the 31st. We don't.
Well, I believe my next hearing before you, Your Honor, is set for the 30th or 31st on a motion to terminate the trust, which...
I'm trying to get you in here before then.
Good.
So let me look.
Oh.
I'm unavailable the rest of this week. I'm out of town at a conference.
Yeah, you're meeting Mr. Bernstein. So next week...
It's not great.
Well,
next week's
I have to
fine.
Do it
not
then.
This week.
Oh, you want to do it?
No.
At the end, if you can.
April 2nd, we have 10. We can fly Joanne down.
Okay, I can.
April 2nd around.
I can't do a week from Friday is bad because it's the Veg Bar Conference, the 27th. So the 26th, all right, I'll do it on the 26th. I'll start you at 3 o'clock. I'll give you 3 to 5. Mr. Bernstein,
26.
You have to finish in those 2 hours.
Okay.
And, Your Honor, I need to put my witness as well. Assuming
your witness can appear by phone if they can appear personally.
Doesn't he have to be sworn?
Oh, can the trustee?
Yeah, I'll swear, man, over the phone.
Okay.
I'm going to connect. Now we're accommodating people that way in order to do that. See if you have your witness live. If not, they can appear by phone.
Can the trustee appear then if you accept them?
Well, but they're not dealing with these objections. These are your objections.
That's fine.
Well, these were accountings submitted to the trust.
Anyone can be here.
Okay.
I don't stop them. If they want to come here and sit in the courtroom, they can do it. But these are your objections to Oppenheimer's.
She'll have to file something.
Well, I'd like to wait for the trustee to file their objections.
Okay. No.
Why?
I'm ruling on yours.
I know, but I'm not an attorney and we're endangering people.
Okay.
I said that I'm not an attorney. I'm doing this pro se because I was forced into it because they bled the trust dry.
Reporter, read back what he said about danger. Oh, you get that?
I said just what I just said.
I thought he said I'm not an attorney endangering people.
Okay, all right.
Right. I was just saying I'm not an attorney. I'd rather see the beneficiaries who are minors represented by an attorney who's a trustee.
Mr. Bernstein?
Yes, sir.
I have to rule on your objections.
Okay.
The only way I don't is if you withdraw them.
And then she could submit new ones?
I'm not saying,
okay,
I'm not ruling on that.
Okay, then I got to keep it that way till we get her.
Okay.
We can't get the trustee appointed as soon as possible.
They have to comply with the rules to do with that.
So okay, but can they get the documents from Oppenheimer that they were going to give to the successor?
If the successor files the notice, does what the trust says, and then they contact Oppenheimer, there's an orderly method. It's done all the time on how one trustee takes over for another.
Well, you had ordered... That, you see, your order, your omnibus order thingy, says that we were supposed to give a trustee, get it here in 10 days, because we were going to try to have a trustee for the accounting. Then Oppenheimer contacted those trustees and told those people, you don't want this thing, there's no money here, it's a waste of time.
You found someone.
Right. So now, the whole game of that omnibus order was to try to get a trustee here representing the kids versus Elliot pro se with his wife, who don't really know much about the law, and we're depending on your knowledge.
I have to rule upon the trust objections right now.
We'll figure it out with the attorney.
Figure it out. Okay, right,
yeah,
so
that's a better.
We notice this to March 26th.
May I ask who the successor trustee is?
You can say the name.
Yeah, I'll give him the address and stuff.
We'll give him the name too.
Oh, okay, yeah. Here.
Well, do that.
Say it on the record.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say it on the record. It's not a corporate trustee. It's a lawyer. What?
The trust documents require.
Okay, but we couldn't find a corporate.
Okay, but I'm not. But see, Elliot, that's the problem. I don't have the authority. You're pointing out what people have to appoint an individual trustee. When the whole discussion was a corporate trustee.
That in the documents. But now that we can't, we all agree we can't get one, I have a trustee who's a lawyer.
Okay,
who's willing to take the letter, put in her motion and strike it or whatever you want to do. Because this one's going to be fun.
I've been requesting all along.
Joanne Dennison.
You have an address or something like that?
5940 West Tui Avenue, Suite 120, Niles, Illinois, 6071. Oh, sure, sure, sorry. 5940 West Tui, Touhy Avenue, number 120, Niles, Illinois, 60714. Her phone number is 312 area code 553-1300. Her email is joanne@denisonlaw.com.
Okay, is she a member of the Florida Bar?
Was your client?
Is
your client a member of the Florida Bar that acted as trustee? We're not even sure your trust company was.
Bye. Okay, my next piece is.
No.